Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to the Chase the Wolf radio show. This is our Saturday show, the Protecting the Tribe series. I want to welcome each and every one of you for showing up this morning, listening in. If you're listening in live or if you decide to come around and listen to us on podcasts, we appreciate each and every one of you. Hope you're having a great day today. Hope you had a good week last week. Hope your weather's much better. Able to spend a little time away from the office, away from the hustle and bustle of that work-related events that take place all during the week. Some of you are going to be working this weekend as well. I'm glad for you to tune in, listen in, listen in on one of those podcasts that we are able to put out as well. I want to give a special shout-out, as I do each and every week, to our military members, our veterans. We appreciate everything you've done to keep this nation free, whether you're stateside or overseas somewhere in some combat environment or Cold War environment, or we still have members from World War II that's still around, and Vietnam and Korea. We appreciate you all for serving this great country of ours. Also want to give a shout out to law enforcement, fire services, EMS services people. You all stay busy. I've served with alongside many of you out there for a number of years. And I just, I know what you go through. And I appreciate everything that you all do to help keep, us on the roads and in our cities and towns and our states, safe. Safe as you can be. I know you can't be everywhere at one time, and sometimes it takes you a few minutes to get there, but I ask that you do so safely and you go home each and every day to your family and loved ones as well. Appreciate what you do. Medical service providers, bless goodness, you've been busy. Been busy a lot here, and we just thank you for everything you've done to help keep us well and get us back on our feet and hopefully beyond some of the stuff that we've been through lately. And lastly, of course, and not always lastly, but to our security professionals and various job-related events that you do, sometimes they say you are the last line of defense, but when truly in many cases you are the first line, your first people on, you know, observe, report. Sometimes you have to do what you got to do to, you know, protect yourself, protect others, protect assets. We appreciate what you do. We also have a bunch of listeners out there. You know, we're in a number of cities, a number of counties and states across the U.S. We're up in Canada. We're all the way over in China. We're down in the South America and the Panama area and over into the U.K. and Bulgaria and just a number of places have been tuning in, listening to our variety of shows that we do each week. We appreciate each one of you. As I do, as I, you know, am honored to do, is to ask each and every one of you a moment of remembrance, a moment of silence for those who have paid the ultimate sacrifice, those who went on before us, those who have lost their lives here and very recently, or even many years ago. We ask for a moment of silence, please, in honor of them. Thank you. And we want to welcome you back. That moment of silence, never long enough, but it's at least dedicated for that. My mic is a voice-activated mic, and sometimes ever since there's, you know, too many moments of silence, it'll stop and then, you know, kick back in when I start talking again. So anyway, moment of silence. We do appreciate all of you. Welcome back. This is the Chase Wolf Radio Show. We are coming to you live from our Chase Wolf studios in Western North Carolina. I do want to make an announcement. We are moving to another locale. We're going to be probably rolling off of the Blog Talk Radio and into a new, more energizing. You're even going to be able to see me as I talk to you. That might be scary enough as it is. But we're going to be moving over to the Bill of Rights Network. You can go over to Facebook and look up the Bill of Rights Network. I'm going to come to you live on a number of different platforms. I know we're going to be on Facebook and YouTube and Twitch and Twitter and Spotify and just a number of other different platforms, live, podcast. Just any time that you'd be able to listen and see it. Got a great group of shows over there where we're going to migrate to next Saturday. Monday through Friday, you got Carl with Wake Up Gallatin. You know, on Sunday nights, and I think there may be some scheduling changes coming up, but as it shows right now, Sunday nights at 7:30 p.m., it's going to be the Second Amendment Ranch. Monday nights, about 5 o'clock, and this is all central daylight time on this central time. 5 o'clock is going to be Paranormal Nation Radio on Thursday nights at 7, HTX Renegade Radio, going to have that. And then it's not, you know, totally officially announced yet, but starting Saturday morning at 8 a.m. Central, 9 a.m. Eastern time. Chase the Wolf Radio will be doing a two-hour show. It'll be live. It'll be streamed live. It'll be video. It'll be things going on with it. We're going to talk about it more here after a while, but it's going to be rolling out next Saturday morning. That'll be the 27th. Two-hour show is going to have the Chase the Wolf Radio as well as the Wolf Bits News and the Protecting the Tribe all in one. Going to start rolling out special guests, sponsors, just a number of great things that's going to happen with that. Hope you tune in on it. Got a lot of great people over at Bill of Rights Network. We've got Carl, and we've got Cameron, and Simple Man, and TDC, and there's a number of others. I hadn't learned them all yet. I've watched and listened to several of their shows, and you know, support them. Hope you tune in. They're all about, you know, military and you know, military support, veteran support, PTSD support, you know, for those who, you know, talk about the 22 lives that are lost due to suicide. They've got a special gentleman, if I remember his name right, and please don't get me, you know, on this just yet. I haven't met him yet. His name's Alex, I believe. And he's going to be taking a 2,200-mile trek up one of the trails, starting in Georgia and ending up way up in the northeast. I think it's Maine. I'm just going to have to look at the map and see where he's going. I know he's going through North Carolina. I've offered my support and whatever is necessary for that. May go out and do some video coverage of that and do some interviews with him out there to show what's going on. They have a great support network for it and supporting Alex. He's going to take several months to walk that. I mean, it's not like, you know, walking around a block as many of us do in the evenings, but you know, it's to show his support for PTSD. He has his own story about PTSD and what he's gone through. And it's a very touching, a very moving story that he's got. So it's a lot of great things going on over at the Bill of Rights Network. I'm looking forward to making the hop over, the migration over. Chase the Wolf radio show will continue. They're just going to be broadcast in a different format starting next week. So glad you're here this week. As I do always, I like to read the intro, the summary, the pre-summary, as I've sometimes called it, about what the show is about today. So this is the Protecting the Tribe series, Bug In, Bug Out, versus Bug Out, rather. And so a question I will ask you is, do I stay or do I go? And so you may have heard some music or some song about that. Do I stay or do I go? And what do you do before a pending crisis, storm, or disaster strikes? What about a shit hit the fan or the end of the world as we know it? Some of you would say stuff hits the fan, and I understand that. But, you know, the end of the world as we know it, could that happen? Some of you don't believe that. Some of you think that, you know, we're good. We're cruising along. My wife came in to the studio here a little while ago and talked about the economy and economics and such. And she follows that stuff a lot. She reads a lot. She listens to it a lot. She helps me with the Wolf Bits news and giving me, you know, ideas of things to chase down, things to research and such. And so she was talking about economics and such. And I said, you know, it wasn't too terribly bad now, but, you know, for those who've got the stimulus checks or is getting their stimulus checks and such like that, you probably won't see another one of those. I'd be surprised if you did. You probably won't. A lot of, you know, crisis going on down at the southern border, a lot of things going on here in these United States. I call it a crisis when they attack your First and Second Amendment rights, as well as the others, but First and Second Amendment greatly on that. So anyway, you know, the end of the world as we know it, well, the end of the world may, for some of us, may have been at the, you know, the end of that election that we just went through not long ago. The end of the world is, you know, it was better for me during that time, maybe you as well. I'll continue on. So I'll repeat it again. What do you do before a pending crisis, storm, or disaster strikes? What about a shit hit the fan moment or the end of the world as we know it? Do you, I, along with our families, our friends, and others, do we stay or do we go? Your planning, preparation, and your abilities to either bug in or bug out depends upon whether or not you are prepared to survive or not to survive. Now, as you know, in talking about our Protecting Tribe series, you know, it talks about the, you know, stuff hits the fan moment, societal collapse, survival of you and others, mutual assistance groups, self or tribal preservation, community preparedness, training your team, defending your tribe, and so much more. And when we're talking about chase the wolf, well, it's not the four-legged wolves. I support the four-legged wolves of the wild. You know, through the World Wolf Conservation Center, nywolf.org, out of New York. You know, I support those four-legged wolves, but I don't support the two-legged wolves, the ones who are the criminals, the thuglings, corrupt politicians, the terrorists, the, you know, foreign nations who are hell-bent on destroying this great land of ours. That's the people that I talk about. That's the people that I chase. That's the people that I want you and everyone else to be aware of. Our Protecting the Tribe series is just that. It's to protect you. It's to protect your family, protect your, you know, survival groups, your church groups, your whatever. in that. So when we're talking about, you know, bug in versus bug out, doesn't mean, you know, there's a bug inside your house and you're brooming them out, getting them out of your house, you know, or spraying some kind of, you know, bug spray on them or something along like that. This is talking about whether you are prepared if there is a crisis to stay in your home, or if you're prepared to leave your home, leave, you know, many of your personal belongings that you may never again see in the event of that disaster. I've lived through disasters. I've been deployed to disaster areas. I've seen the good, the bad, and ugly of people as they were associated to, you know, those disaster areas. I've lost officers at the hands of, you know, thuglians, criminals, at some of these locations because of the violence, because of the looting activity, because of many things that has taken place. When you see, I'll call it the backside of humanity. See that backside of humanity? It's not pretty. It's not pretty at all. It's very ugly. And so you'll hear me often say the good, the bad, and ugly. And there was a lot of good, but there was a hell of a lot of bad in a lot of these locations. There are people, when you're talking about a crisis, whether you bug in or you bug out, that, you know, hey, we'll just stay here in the southern Gulf Coast and ride out the storm. We'll have us a hurricane party, and we'll just stay put. You know, in all my lifetime, we've never had that 100-year storm and such as that. Well, think back, those who watch the news, listen to the news, hopefully it's more than the, you know, mainstream media news that you listen to. What has taken place here in, you know, the later times, the times that we, you and I, are living in right now? There's a lot of disasters that's taken place. Those 100-year storms are, you know, maybe they're more frequent. Maybe they're not. Maybe they're just, you know, happen the way it is. Some people would say it's climate change is causing that. If that's what you truly believe, then that's what you believe. I don't necessarily buy into all of that, but, you know, sometimes things happen because of climate. Sometimes things happen because of, you know, man-made effects that may be affecting certain things. So, you know, think for yourself, research for yourself. Don't always depend on some talking head on their radio or TV to, you know, persuade you into that sheepled attitude, if you will. So as we talk about bug in versus bug out, I am going to take the wonderful teachings, the wonderful lecture series, the wonderful information that I've gathered in a number of great books. We're going to read maybe a segment of it, and then we'll talk about it more. Also want you to think about this, and I brought this up. I was on the Second Amendment Ranch radio station the other night with Carl and Cameron. I was very honored to be on that, and that's what helped persuade me, if you will, to jump over to their network, their platforms, their, you know, everything that they've got going on over there. And we talked about, you know, certain things. It was a gun-related show. We talk about protecting ourselves, protecting our families and such. And that's part of what today's show is about as well. But we talked about, and I mentioned a movie called Armageddon. And you've heard me talk about it, whether it was on the Chase the Wolf, whether it was on, you know, the Protecting the Tribe series that I do, Armageddon. And it's about an EMP, electromagnetic pulse, that strikes our world. And it knocks out the electronics. Now, how many of you social media warriors who are out there, my wife's joining me in the studio right now. She doesn't want me to say that, but she's joining me in the studio now. She's going to be right beside me. Might even get her to talk here in just a moment. But no, she said no. Not cooperative. Anyway, we talked about an EMP, and an EMP is electromagnetic pulse, and it will knock out the electronics. That means your your vehicles won't work, your social media stuff won't work, your internet won't work, your T&Vs won't work, maybe your ice boxes and everything won't work, and then what are you going to do? You know, when that, and I've mentioned it before, when that, I think it was 2003, when the Northeast grid of the United States was knocked out for several days. What happened then? A lot of people didn't have food in their house. A lot of people couldn't go, you know, use their debit cards or credit cards or anything to buy food. Many of the businesses were closed down for those several days. A lot of people had nothing in the refrigerators, nothing, you know, and before they didn't know how to prepare it before it spoiled because they didn't have things like, you know, grills or Coleman stoves or, you know, even the use of how to cook on a fire. Part of our living off the grid with TAP 3 times, TAP 3X, you know, we talked about certain things about how to use a fire, how to do certain things along that line to be able to cook and eat. And a lot of people's food spoiled, a lot of grocery stores' food spoiled. And then, you know, following an event such as that, then you've seen food prices go up when the electricity came back on. Why? To offset the losses of all these people. If it's a financial crisis that takes place in these United States, and we've had some, what's gonna happen then? How many people have lost their money? How many people lose their lives because their investments, their fortunes are gone? They have nothing. And so, you know, those are the types of things you have to be concerned about. So we talk about Armageddon, and then we talk about, you know, opposing forces. There was China. There was Russia. You know, China, Russia. That was involved, and they came to these United States. They are superpowers, and, you know, the three, the United States, Russia, and Canada all merged together. And then what was their concerns? Their concerns, like what we've talked about on the Second Amendment ranch the other night, their concerns when I talked about the dismantling of gun rights by packs of wolves, the concern was the removing of firearms and ways to protect yourself from a tyrannical government. They came into your homes. Military came into your homes. They you know, great forces. I mean, you know, military weapons versus, you know, an American behind a blade of grass. That's kind of what you were up against at that time, behind a tree, you know, militias and stuff. So that's what you have to be concerned about and what you need to think about. So when we're talking about this, I'll reach out with Johnny Jack's book, as I've done on a number of these series already. And we're going to go to a special section in there called Bug Out Bag and Get Home Bag. Now, what is a bug out bag? Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you have your own bug out bag ready to go. It's in your car. It's up on a shelf in the garage, just ready to roll out at any given moment. I carry probably a couple of them in the back of my vehicle ready to go. My wife and I have, and I both have meal packs that would carry us into several days without, you know, having to rely or at least, you know, lets us get our bearings, our feet on the ground in a particular area, whether we've had to, you know, bug out or we had to, you know, bug in and live off certain, you know, freeze-dried foods and such as that, that is available to us, extra water and such. And so all of these things need to be taken, considered and taken to consideration and will take place. But you also have to remember this. You may not be home when that, you know, shit hits the fan moment, that end of the world as we know it. And there's disaster movies out there that has talked about this, has showed this. And, you know, I can't remember all the names, and I've watched too many. My wife and I both have sat back and watched too many. Probably me pushing it along. She didn't really care to watch it that much, but she's frowning over on the side here. But, you know, it kind of opens up your eyes. And if it doesn't open up your eyes, then, you know, you're blinded by, you know, the mainstream media. You're blinded by the government who wants to, you know, have you move along with a sheepled attitude and such. So you got to have that stuff, but you also have to think, if you're not home, how are you going to get home? Your car may not work. If you are at home, or, you know, you've got to think about, well, my mutual assistance group, my survival group, my retreat group, my church group, whatever. We've talked about this. We've put it in the planning stage. Now we have to work, you know, we have to do the plan. We have to enact the plan. We have to put the plan in action. And many of you, when it gets to that point, if you're not prepared, if you don't have that plan put together, then you might fail. There's a book, When All Plans Fail. And then what happens? What have you got? What have you got left? Many of you have family members that, you know, they've taken up roots and have moved elsewhere. Imagine if you were on a business trip or something, another state, another, you know, country even. How would you get back to your family? How would you get back to your loved ones? Have you thought about that? Have you thought about, you know, when I go to work, I've got at least 3+ day set of rations in my backpack or something that I can carry with me to get from, you know, point A to point B or point Z, or as my wife would say, Z. How would you get to that point? Are you protected? Do you know how to protect yourself? Do you know how to defend yourself if it gets to that point? Those are the things you must consider. So some have, you know, the bug out bags. Some of them have the get home bags. And so when we talk about bug in, bug out, this is what we're going to be talking about. So you need a Bob or bug out bag. And if your name's Bob, you probably need Bob as well. If you plan on to bug in, never traveling more than a short walk from home, or if you live at your bug out location, that you have that bag so you can grab it, and hopefully that you can traverse to your zone B, your backup plan, whatever, that you can traverse there and you can, you know, stay away from the bad guys. You don't get robbed, because what's going to happen? There's going to be anarchy. There's going to be people who, you know, were panicky even back in 2003. There were people panicky here when COVID kicked in and you couldn't find toilet tissue and milk and bread and hand sanitizers and soap and all that stuff. You couldn't find it. Water, you couldn't find it. There were places that didn't have any water at all, you know, and yet they probably still had at least their spigot water. Their water that at least came into the home. So, but a lot of people don't drink that water. You have to be in some areas, even up in Canada, I remember a case where the water system was polluted and there weren't certain tests weren't done and people died from it because the water was bad. And this happened in more than one place. You know, there's places up in, I believe, Illinois. That is suffered thing. What do they do after the water system been compromised by a flood? Then there's boil water. You have to boil water. There's all types of purification measures as well. Get home bags. A consensus among sources is that the get home bag should be small and contain a 3-day supply of small items. Now, the writer of this, who's Johnny Jack, he disagrees with that, and he disagrees with the concept of it because he thinks that you might need more than those 3 days. You know, my wife and I have, you know, and just not knowing where we live at, but we have, quite a bit stored up, and a lot of other people have quite a bit stored up, and they have the farms and they have the, you know, vegetables raising, they raise the livestock and such that they've done to plan this. And many of the groups, as a contributory measure, they each bring something to the table, per se, if you want to use that term. They bring something to the table, like livestock, like, you know, husbandry of, you know, being able to slaughter an animal, or how to can fruits and vegetables and stuff like my wife does, or how to cook over an open fire, how to start a fire. Yeah. So a lot of you don't have the necessities of starting fire, or if you were absolutely trapped and you didn't have that Bic lighter with you and such as that, which, you know, will eventually run out, how are you going to start the fire? What are you going to start that fire with? So those are things to, you know, be considered. Johnny Jackson, he's writing, he says, I have one bag for all situations and can survive easily for 2 weeks without replenishing my food and can push it for three weeks if stretching rations and trapping rabbits and catching snakes every few days. That'll work. And a lot of his stuff that he's got is that freeze-dried stuff. So if you have one of those freeze-dry contraptions out there, start putting that up. Start, getting your baggies. Start getting, glass containers or whatever. Start getting, other types of containers, storage containers to put freeze-dried food in and such. Another thing is that in your pack, whether it's, you may have to walk. You know, how many of you walk? How many of you it's difficult for you to walk? How many of you that have to, because of, Americans with Disabilities, now I was going to say Americans with Disabilities Act, but Americans with Disabilities, many of you use scooters. Will the scooter work if it's an EMT that strikes? That's something to consider. How are others who are around you, your family members, going to help you traverse for you to get to another location? Because of some limitations, we have to think about, well, maybe bug in is the only thing that we can do. We can't bug out. We can't leave. And so we need to be able to have a home that has storage of food, storage of weapons, storage of ammunition, defendable. All of these things need to be of concern and take place. I'm going to take a real short break, and on the other side of the break, we're going to talk about more of bugging in and, of course, bugging out. I will be right back in just a moment. And welcome back, everyone, to the Chase the Wolf radio shows, our Saturday show, Protecting the Tribe series, talking about bugging in and bugging out. You can reach us on the web at ichasethewolves.com. Currently, we're on Blog Talk Radio and fixing to migrate over to the Bill of Rights Network this next coming week. But right now, you can find us blogtalkradio.com/chasethewolf. Now, those programs that we've done previous will still be there. They'll still be available on podcasts for you to listen to. But we're going to try that new radio station. They've been doing it for, I think, a couple of years now. But the Bill of Rights Network is going to be migrating over there and be able to do live and podcast programs over there, live streaming. It's going to be really great. Find us on Facebook, facebook.com/CTW Media Group. CWP. And we're also on Twitter, still on Twitter. Don't know why. Left Twitter, came back to Twitter. Twitter doesn't do a lot for us, but we are there. Twitter.com/CTW Media Group. Appreciate each and every one of you today. I'm going to move on. Absolute Anarchy book with Johnny Jacks. Talks about clothing, talks about walking great distances and such. Food, shelter, these are things you have to keep in mind. What about your clothing? What kind of clothing did you throw in that pack of yours, that big pack? You don't want some 27-pound pack for, you know, unless you just need to throw everything into it. And some people do. They throw in more than what they need. I'm one of them. That's me. I take more than what I need. I always do. What about your hiking boots? I got good, sturdy hiking boots that you can, you know, march along on the trails, backwoods, whatever, you know, off the main highways and stuff to get where you're going. Because guess what? Other people are going to be thinking about doing the same thing. Maybe they thought about doing the same thing. Maybe they're going to come along and they don't have all the provisions you got and try to rob you and take what you have from you. So you need to be of concern with that. Will your cell phone happen? Will it work? Will you have a handheld radio that might work, or a satellite telephone? What about all that? Are you going to have it available to you or not? Portable solar charging devices for your communications, or maybe for whatever else you need. You know, we were sent down to the Gulf Coast after Hurricane Katrina. We had a fellow show up there in Mississippi. And he was, you know, on one of those CPAP machines, and there was no electricity. So you know what that means. The CPAP machine is not going to work. We didn't have generators when we first got down there. The generators finally came around, but we had to send him home because that, you know, medically speaking, he maybe should have thought that out, planned that out before he went down. But, you know, you could be told one thing, that you have this, that, and the other that's going to be available to you. And then when you get down there, reality strikes, and those things aren't available. And that's why there's one of the books here called When All Plans Fail. These are things you have to make consideration for as well. You know, do you have cash? Do you have something to barter with? Because, you know, your credit cards may not work, may not be able to use those. Do you have energy snacks? Do you have some type of snacks, energy bars? You got to have plenty of water. Got to have something to keep the weather off of you, whether it's, you know, it's cold weather, it's hot weather, it's rainy weather, you know, depending on what it is. You need to have certain things to protect you from the elements with you as well. First aid kits, medicine. How many of you have, you know, I think they limit in some cases some of the medicines out there where you can only have so many weeks or months, if you will, of some medications, put restrictions on it. The government put restrictions on it. Your doctors put restrictions on it. I'm not sure. But, you know, those pharmacies may not be open when you need those medications. So you should try to keep, you know, if you can, backup of many of your medications that you rely upon to, you know, regulate you, or to keep you alive, or whatever it is. Think of, you know, cross the counter, you know, things that you need, you know, Tylenol, Benadryl, whatever it's that you might need out in the wilderness of the unknown, as I call it. Flashlights, headlamps, lighters, sunglasses. Went fishing one time, left early in the morning, 4 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning. You're not thinking about sunglasses or a hat when you're going to be out fishing. And then all of a sudden you realize, oops, I left something at home. So sunglasses, hats, things like that to protect you against the sun. These are things to, you know, be concerned about. You know, leather gloves, parachute cord that you need, a lot of bottled water or filtration, like a life straw, something along that line for that. You got to have a knife. You got to have that utility tool. I'm telling you, you just can't survive in the wilderness of the unknown without the use of a knife. You need something to cut with. Don't think those little mustache scissors are going to do it for you. You got to get with them. Many of you, oh my gosh, you rely on that GPS way too much. I'm probably one of them that relies on it a bit as well. Sometimes my wife and I go on, you know, adventurous tours because we miss a turn. She's pointing at me right now. I miss a turn and we go, you know, on an adventurous ride. But, you know, you never can see enough of America, right? So, or Canada. So, you know, think about that. But if, you know, if the GPS is out, if your apps are not working on your cell phone, if things go along like that, well, guess what? You're going to have to rely on a map and a compass. I was talking to Carl last night as we were doing some preliminary stuff to set me up on the Bill of Rights Network. And I had a map out. We were talking about that gentleman, I believe his name is Alex, who's going to be traversing that trail up through North Carolina. And so I brought out a map of North Carolina to see, you know, some of the locations that you'll be, you know, close points to different cities and towns as he goes along. And, you know, for years, Carl and I are close in age. I'm a bit older than he is, but, you know, we relied on maps many years ago. And for a lot of you, you don't know how to read a map. You need to have some stored up maps around. You need to have maybe some aerial shots while you still have electricity and stuff, some aerial shots of terrain around you. If you got a bug out location or something, what's around you? What's that satellite shot of that area around you that, you know, you might need to know, you know, what's coming, whether it's a defendable location or whatever. These are just some of the things, personal protection equipment, your weapons, impact weapons. You have your, if electronics are even working, you have some electronic type weapons like tasers and stuff, or OC spray or bear spray. Bear spray is really great, you know, to have. For some people, if you don't have that, you know, even you know, Raid or some type of bug spray can be used in a defensive situation. Hopefully not for an angry charging bear, I must add. A lot of other things, personal sanitation stuff. Stuff to keep you clean, feminine hygiene products, you know, things along this line you need to consider. Toilet tissue, you know, I've seen toilet tissue go off the shelves in record time during COVID-19. Need to have some backup plans for toilet tissue. You really don't want to have to ration it, but you may have to. And then if you run out, just make sure those leaves you're picking are not poison ivy or poison oak. When you're trying to take care of that backside situation, a lot of bug out bags that you've got, you know, and then, you know, some people use larger bags, dual purpose bags, backpacks. Backpacks are good. Make sure you get them fitted for you. Some are framed, some are unframed. You know, those are the kind of things that you look for as well. There's different types of just a number of other things that, you know, go to a REI store or something along that line to get that outdoor camping equipment stuff together, because that's stuff that you're going to need, because maybe, you know, you bug in location, maybe there's nothing to be able to, you know, cook on or cook with. Think about having that. Think about having a propane and whatever as a backup plan for those things as well. A lot of good information in Johnny Jack's book that we've got. I'll switch over to Charlie Hogwood. He's one of the premier writers on, you know, locations, picking locations, bug outs, and such as that. For many of us, we have survival groups. I'm going to read this. It says from Charlie Hogwood. It's the Survival Group Handbook. Very good reading. Group that has a base location that has developed a community arrangement allowing for all families involved to work and run the farm as a collective. The rural locations are the best. Sometimes you have the suburbs or burbs, as some people would call it, those urban environments and such. But it says an urban environment would most likely be more of a post-apocalyptic group that establishes their farm in an abandoned area of the city to take advantage of existing structures for their protection. When you talk about rural, suburban, or urban, the property should be large enough for multiple homesteads and, all of the collective tasks required to support the members. How many members are you in your group? How many members are part of your tribe or your survival group or your church group that has talked about this? Myself and a gentleman by the name of Eric and others and Curtis, we've all been out there and have talked to numerous church groups about, you know, and they do well. They are big family elements and they do well in support of others during, you know, more peaceful times. But when you have that, you know, end of the world as we know it, stuff hits the fan moment, you know, have they really, you know, put their thoughts and plans into something that can be actionable, something that they can rely upon on that? In a pre-event scenario, members may buy in or receive a piece of land or section of property to establish their camp or build a living structure. In some cases, the landowner will grant authorizations for others to share the land in exchange for participation in a group. There are groups here in Western North Carolina that does that. We have, you know, I've talked to several members involved in that, and there is, you know, bug out locations, and I've gone in and done security assessments of locations, and they've taken my assessments into consideration and put together actionable plans for the protection of themselves, protection of their livestock, protection of, you know, family members and such, protections of their farms. And then you looked at, you know, we've talked about it in previous shows about, you know, protecting your tribe, putting that defense or actionable plan together to protect those those members and those properties, or even reaching out and, you know, there has to be advanced parties that goes out and seeks more, you know, whether it's food or going hunting or whatever that's necessary to be able to do that. So there's a lot of things that go along with that as well. In some cases, you know, there has to be legal concerns. If it is a, you have to vet members who come in to your groups. We've talked about that. Vet those members that come into your groups. You don't want to, have some homesteading thing. If it gets to the point where, you know, you have certain rules, regulations, laws established for your particular group, you know, being able to, you know, evict members who are not for the good of the order, for the good of the group. Those are things you might need to consider as well. There's retreat groups. A retreat group, and I'm reading this from Charlie Hogwood's book, The Survival Group Handbook. A retreat group is a number of people who arrange to meet at another location, a rally point, in case of activation. What is that activation? That's that stuff hits the fan moment. That's that crisis situation that may kick in. You know, a tornado hits and goes through your town, like Parkersburg, Iowa, where a mile-wide tornado tore through there. You have to, you know, communities come together. But how many were ready for such an event? How many of you are ready for such an event if it hits your place? You live on the coast. Are you ready to go? Are you ready to pick up in a matter of moments to be able to get out of that? I mean, my wife is even, when we lived in Florida, there were, you know, severe hurricanes and stuff that were coming up. She had action plans put together. Communications is a big, big part of that as well. The location may be a home, cabin, or other location where a group feels all of their survival needs would be met. As a side note, a big box store, shopping mall, or food warehouse is an extremely poor retreat location. I've known people. I mean, we were told when we were going to go down to the Gulf Coast after Katrina that we were going to be on a ship out in the harbor. We were going to be sleeping on bunk beds. We were going to have, you know, 3 square meals a day. Could be round meals, but 3 square meals a day is going to be catered. And when we get down there, and that was at that event where we didn't have any electricity, and that guy from CPAP, he had to leave and go back home. We didn't have anything. We slept in an abandoned office building that was, you know, vacated. We slept on the floor. We had, you know, whatever food we brought with us until we were able to get more food in and generators and such as that. My catered food was, you know, Chef Boyardee ravioli uncooked, as well as beanie weenies and such as that. Water we had plenty of water, thank goodness. But, you know, we ate out of cold cans for a few days. You know, I'm still alive, so I guess it was okay for us to do that. But you have those retreat groups. Retreat groups even have legal considerations, any kind of group legal considerations, whether you're on your property or you're on someone else's property or you're on maybe some borrowed property that you came across. You have military and law enforcement who may, you know, be asked to ask you to move along because you are trespassing on, you know, certain people's property. So, you know, you can't be a world without law, but there may be a lot of lawlessness happen. You ever seen some of the videos and such that were shot? You probably didn't see if you're watching the mainstream media stuff. A lot of videos and stuff shot in New Orleans after that. I mean, there was a lot of people in these Walmarts and other places looting because they had nothing. They weren't prepared for anything. That's not just, you know, not just down there. It's happened in a number of different places here in the United States. Looters come in, or, you know, it's an anarchy moment and they think they can just have the entitlement, if you will, of going in and taking what doesn't belong to them. Crazy world out there. Things that's going to happen. You have to be, you know, thinking and considering what's going to happen in the future. You need to plan for what's going to happen in the future as well. You know, there's characteristics of a good physical location. It needs to be able to support a number of members. It might be land. It might be a sod farm. It might be a warehouse, anywhere you can, you know, set up. Sometimes the locations may be temporary. It's only something to get you from point A to point B to point C all the way to point Z or Z, as my lovely wife likes to call it. So you may have different points to get to that area. You know, when you're talking about maybe having to walk 100 miles or so to get home, that's going to take you a bit of time. You know, you got the rations and stuff to do it. You got to find food. You got to find water. You got to find shelter. Those are your three, you know, primary concerns: food, water, and shelter. And shelter should be first. Water, then food. You can live a number of days without water, a number of weeks without food. Some of you can. Yeah, I have difficulties making it a day without any kind of food, especially water, or at least my coffee in the morning, I must add. Here are some considerations as well. Finding the farm of the survival group. Some survival groups slightly different than others groups, usually planned out well in advance and account for many families. There's a lot of great places in these United States. This is, you know, there's some, you know, oligarchs that are buying up all the farms around and such as that, buying up all of the, you know, so they can have control. It's all about control, especially if the government's involved, having control of your food. You need to be self-reliant, self-sustaining is something that you must consider. So these farms of group, property must meet criteria to support life on a long-term or in some cases a short-term basis, depending on your situation. When you talk about there's 7 main areas of survival, yet be sustainable for a long term. Number one, security. And this, you know, this is their order. I won't necessarily say it's the order I would of importance, but you have to be secure. You have to live in a secure environment, and security is one of it. You know, if you have to, as some people say, pool guard duty. Somebody's going to have to stay awake and watch for, you know, the potential of predators, both two and four-legged, around your bug in or bug out location. Security is one. Food production. Man, you could only eat so many, you know, lemon cookied Oreos before they're gone, and then they're gone. I'd just use that as an analogy there, but I love those lemon cookie Oreos. But you, it's not just enough to sustain your life. Trust me on that, although sometimes I think it is. But food production, you got to be able to produce food for who? Everyone in your group, all of your members. That's what you need to consider on that. Water resources, got to have plenty of water, not only for drinking for yourself. You also may, excuse me, you also may have animals that you have to, you know, be considering about keeping them alive, keeping a water supply for them. If an EMP hits, electronics goes out, there's no water. I mean, there's no pumps to pump the water to you. You may have to go gather it. You may have to go get water from a stream or a river or a lake or something. And then you have to do the purification on it. Shelter resources. What kind of shelter? Do we have to bug out, go into the forest and the woods, as many will? And then is there a shelter there? You got to share it with a bear? You may have a problem on that. Here's something else, health and safety. You know, here we are in a pandemic. Some people say a pandemic moment, talking about, you know, the China virus, whatever. And, you know, you got to be worried about, you know, a lot of things, foodborne, airborne, waterborne, things that would, you know, potentially, make you very sick or even kill you. On that, energy resources, you know, talking about, you know, fire, how to build a fire, some other type of energy resources, maybe solar. A lot of us have little solar panels and solar packs and stuff that we're able to carry with us to at least get some type of, you know, electricity to our devices if they work because of an EMP or something. Communications. How are you going to communicate? How did it communicate years ago in the West, Wild West? They didn't have all these telephones and these radios and these social media things and such as that. A lot of stuff to consider. Location security, need to be, you know, accessibility of it. If it's defendable, you need to be considerate of that. You know, concealment, you don't want everyone to know what you got. All of you that broadcast, oh, I got hundreds of guns and lots of ammo and tons of food and such as that. And you put that on your social media and everyone else knows that. And then if that moment comes, that the end of the world as we know it comes, that stuff hits the fan moment. Now those people who were unprepared are coming to see you, are coming to take it from you, one of the two. Need to be consider that. Need to think about people who's going through your area, traversing through your land. You have to be able to protect it. A lot of great information, a lot of great books that are out there to consider. I only touched on a couple of them, but there's other great books as well. And, you know, upcoming shows, we'll be talking more about that. We've got probably about 3 minutes or so before we head out. I am doing a second show today at noon on the Chase the Wolf radio show. Shadow, I got my 90-second cue. Shadow Wolves, Deep State Wolves, going to be doing a rebroadcast on that. Had some problems with the broadcast before, and we're going to put that out at 12 noon today right here on Chase the Wolf radio show. Again, we're going to be moving over to the Bill of Rights Network next week. I'll be doing our Protecting the Tribe, Chase the Wolf, Wolf Bits, everything going over that way. We do appreciate you. Be sure to support and donate to the Wolf Conservation Center. Support and donate to the Wolf Conservation Center. That's nywolf.org. My name is Dan Meadows. I appreciate you tuning in today. Hope to see you very soon. You're going to be able to see me as I broadcast coming up on the Bill of Rights Network starting next week. Tune in after a while. Be sure to follow us on ichasethewolves.com. And for all of you, make sure you chase the wolf.